Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
We bless you, Jesus. Just bless the name of the Lord and give Him thanks and praise. Bless His name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you.
Holy, holy God Almighty, it's a privilege to worship you.
Your hands to the Lord and bless His name. He deserves to be praised and adored and glorified. Father, you reign.
Father, you reign. Great are you, Lord.
Oh yeah.
Greatly to be praised. Greatly to be praised.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. We thank you this morning, maker of all the universe, of all that is seen and unseen. You are our God, and it's a privilege for us to worship you and to come before you. Thank you, Father, that your word gives us light. It gives us understanding. And it helps us to know how to run our lives. And this morning, we prepare our hearts to receive your word one more time. And I pray in the name of Jesus, asking for understanding, asking for insight, and asking also for revelation. And I pray for everyone listening to me this morning, that all of us will receive a touch from you. May we be blessed today in Jesus' mighty name. And let the people of God say, Amen. Why don't you put your hands together for Jesus? Oh, to Jesus, I said. Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you, and you may be seated. Write these words down. Omemma. O-M-E-M-M-A. O-M-E-M-M-A. Omemma. That means the God who does a lot of good. Alright? So, Omemma, you always on time. Always on time. You can't do no wrong. So, Omema, always on time, you can't do no wrong. And then, Omema, you leave the 99 always for the one. Hallelujah. Can you give me a key that I can work with? You're familiar with the scripture in Luke chapter 15. There are three very important stories in Luke chapter 15. One of them is about the story of the lost coin. There's a lady who had 10 coins and lost one of them. And she frantically swept the whole house to locate that missing coin. And she was very excited when she found it. Then in this same Luke chapter 15, you find another story of the lost sheep. A gentleman had 100 sheep and lost one of them. He left the 99 to go seeking for the one lost sheep. Then the last intriguing story that you find in Luke chapter 15 is the story of the prodigal son. Hallelujah. All right, so this song, the 99 that he's referring to, is based on that story of the shepherd who left the 99 sheep to go look for the single lost one. And that, ladies and gentlemen, explains to us the extent to which the Lord will go in order to save us and in order to find us. Hallelujah. And this is something that should also help us to understand that part of our assignment as Christians is to restore those who have fallen away. Amen. So we have an assignment to restore those who are lost and those who are lost away. Who are lost. And you know, the fact that he will leave the 99 to go look for the one is something that is difficult to understand. But it explains the love of God for us. Hallelujah. So this song is just a part of the song. I thought I want to introduce you to it. So it simply goes like this. Drop it in.
Omemma, you always on time. You can do no wrong. Omemma, You leave the 99 always for the one. Oh, Mama,
speed it up.
You always on time. You can't do no wrong. Oh, Mama,
speed it up.
You leave the 99 always for the one. Oh, Mama, you always on time. You can't do no wrong. Oh, Mama,
hey,
you leave the 99 always.
Do it again.
Oh, Mama, you always on time. You can't do no wrong. Oh, Mama, you leave the 99.
Oh, sing with me. Come on.
Oh, you can do. Leave at 99. Always try it again. Come on.
Up again some other time. Hallelujah. How many are glad that he leaves the 99 just to look for the one, and you are that one that he will leave the 99 for? What does that make you? Special. So tell the person sitting by you, I'm really special. You don't treat me like that, but today I'm announcing to you that I'm very special to God. And it's in your own interest to treat me also as special. So from today, I am special. Now introduce yourself to the person and mention, my name is special, and then add your name to it. Give Jesus a mighty hand clap. Will you please turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 13, and we're reading verse 17. Am I cutting? Twice. Hebrews 13 verse 17, and I'm reading from the Amplified Version of the Bible. This is what the Bible says. Obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them. That means continually recognizing the authority over you, for they are constantly keeping watch over your souls and guarding your spiritual welfare, as men who will have to render an account of their trust. Then it says, do your part to let them do this with gladness
and not with sighing and groaning, for that will not be profitable to you either. Hallelujah. Amen. So now, this scripture is talking about a certain way you should relate with your spiritual leaders. Who are your spiritual leaders, if I may ask? Simply our pastors. Is that not so? So the Bible says that we should obey them, or we should relate well with them. And then the other thing that he says we should do in relation to them is to submit to them. That means we should recognize their authority over us and relate with them appropriately. Then it says a few things. Number one, that they are constantly watching over your souls and guarding your spiritual welfare. So that is part of our responsibility. We watch over your souls as pastors. We pray for you. We guide you. So we are under shepherds, under the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is the chief shepherd. Did somebody say amen? Then it says that we do this as men who will have to render an account of their trust. Two things I want you to understand is that you've been entrusted to us. Amen? You have been entrusted to us. And then the other thing is that we will give an account for you. We will have to give an account for you one day. Then the last part of it says that you should help us, obey, submit to us, so that we can give account for you with gladness or with joy, and not with sighing and groaning, for that will not be profitable to you. Hallelujah. So if you see yourself as a member of the Shepherd's Fold Restoration family, then you must recognize that you have been entrusted to me and the other pastors that are over you. Hallelujah. And so we are your spiritual leaders, and one day we will give an account for you. And that really is the reason why we strive to feed you with knowledge and understanding, because that is our assignment. He says in Jeremiah 3:15, I'll give you pastors according to my own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. And we feed you with knowledge and understanding with the aim that you will do well and flourish, so that one day when you stand before the Lord, and then we also are called upon to give account for you, we will do so with gladness and with excitement. Hallelujah. So Sunday after Sunday, weekday after weekday, you know, I stand here to teach you so many things. And I do so that you will do well. So that when you stand before the Lord, he'll be pleased with you. And then I also will have reason to rejoice over you. Because what I fed you with, you put it into practice. I don't benefit when you hear the word and you don't do it. That is why the Bible says that we should be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. So always understand that I have a responsibility for you, that you have been entrusted to me, and I'll give an account for you. And I am doing everything that I can as your pastor to feed you with the knowledge and the understanding that you need, so that you'll be a fruitful Christian and that you'll be pleasing unto the Lord. That is why I teach the things that I teach, and that is why I share the word of God with you the way I do. And that is why I've been sharing with you, ladies and gentlemen, for some weeks on practical steps to effective evangelism. Practical steps to effective evangelism. And today, by the grace of God, I want to bring that series to a close. And I've said a few things to you. I've tried to help you to understand that you and I have a charge to keep. Lift up your right hand and say with me, I have a charge to keep. What that means is that I have a responsibility. That God has given me a responsibility, and God has given me a task and an assignment. What responsibility is that? What assignment is that? What charge is that? It is that I should work with him to save the dying souls out there. God saved you and I so that we can save others. Say with me, I've been saved to save. Say it again. Say it one more time. That is it. I have been saved to save. So I have that responsibility. And God has made you and I ministers of reconciliation. He's entrusted that ministry to us. And you and I are ambassadors of Christ Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, we can't fail God. We can't fail Him. The gospel that saved us came to us at a great cost. People gave their lives so that you and I can be saved. It is now our turn to do everything that we can to save others. But today's Christian is failing woefully in this responsibility. Because we are very self-centered and we are very selfish. But the gospel did not come to us cheap. People lost their lives. I had to go walk through a thick forest this morning for a reason. And as I'm standing here now, I'm very tired. Because not only did I have to go through a thick forest, I had to climb a hill. Not a hill with a gentle slope. Very sharp. My legs feel like rubber. And as I was walking through the place, I was asking myself that, what am I doing here on a Sunday morning? Because I didn't anticipate this at all. It's over a piece of land that I got for somebody. And there were some problems and complications. And I had to go meet up with the surveyor today to try and solve the issue. And I did not expect to go where I was. Look, we had to go through the forest with a cutlass. Because there's no path. We had to create the path as we moved along. And as I stood there, I started marveling, thinking about those who brought the gospel to us. They traveled for months by sea to get to the African continent that they used to call the Dark Continent. And when they got in, the only places that were developed were the coastal areas and some of the places a bit interior. But they did not stay in their comfort zone. They decided to penetrate into the thickets of the country. And many lost their lives in the process. It cost the life of people for the gospel to get to us. Sometimes missionaries will come because of malaria and all of these things. They would die because there was no antidote for it. Then a message will be sent back to the missionary society that those who came are dead. Send more. And more will come. So if you go to Ekropong, the Presbyterian Training College there, when you go to their graveyard, you find the names of some of these original missionaries that left their comfort zones and left their countries to bring the gospel to us. It didn't come cheap. Which is why we fail God when we stay in our comfort zone and do not want to inconvenience ourselves in any way to be able to send the gospel to others. Nobody is asking you to travel to Nyangbala or to go to Kuwait and send the gospel there. All we are saying And all the Spirit of God is saying to us is that wherever we are and wherever we find ourselves, whenever the opportunity presents itself, let's talk to somebody about Jesus. And let's be practical evangelists, because we have been given that task and that responsibility. May God help us to carry out that assignment in the name of Jesus. And I speak to every single person under the sound of my voice, those of you physically here and those who are watching me online, that God is really counting on us. And we cannot fail him. We cannot. Because the consequences will be dire if we fail him. May God have mercy on us. Which is why I've been teaching you on practical steps to effective evangelism. Because I realized that one of the main reasons why a lot of Christians don't talk to others about Christ is because they don't know how to. They don't practically know how to go about it. And I've been sharing that with you, and I'm rounding up on that. What is the first step to practical evangelism that I shared with you? Number one is what? Is to do what? Is to pray. Is that not so? And to pray regularly. Every day, pray. And pray for three things. Pray that God will grant you the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody as you go through the day. Number two, pray that when that opportunity presents itself, you will speak clearly. Then number three, pray that when the opportunity comes, you will speak fearlessly. So these are the three things that you should pray about. Then the second step is what? We should be guided by the Holy Spirit and follow his promptings. Because evangelism, effective evangelism, is done in partnership with the Holy Spirit. So we must allow him to guide us. And the Holy Spirit, he speaks to us all the time. He lays things on our hearts all the time. He prompts us, talk to this person about Jesus. Share the gospel with this person. Invite this other person to church. But we tend to ignore that voice. And we don't realize that the voice that we are ignoring is the voice of the Holy Spirit. But as we move forward, let's be sensitive to him and sensitive to his voice. It will make us effective evangelists for Christ Jesus. Amen. Number three, we must arm ourselves with a few key Bible verses by memorizing them. Like what sort of verses? Give me verses that we should memorize. John 3:16. Mention them. It should flow. John 3:16 and 17. Yes, which other one? Revelation 3:20. Which other one can you think of? 2 Corinthians 5:17, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, John 10:9-10, John 10:10. And there are so many of them. Which is why for some weeks now, may I remind you again, we've been posting on our church WhatsApp platform different evangelism scriptures that we should make an effort to memorize. The word has to be in us. So that when the opportunity presents itself, it is not now that we are trying to remember some scripture to use for evangelism. The word should stay in us. And the last one I shared with you today, I'm not sharing anymore. It's enough. So make an effort to memorize those scriptures. And you can. Did you hear what I said? You can memorize them. Irrespective of your age, your educational background, or what have you, you can memorize them. And I told you that there are many things that we've memorized in this life. You memorize people's names, you memorize people's numbers, you memorize addresses and all of that. If you put yourself to it, you can memorize these verses and they will help you to be armed and prepared to tell somebody about Jesus. Number four, the fourth practical step is it helps to start off with surface level subjects. That means that don't go all out guns blazing. Talk about, you know, surface things like the weather, galamse, elections, parliament, the economy. It's just that the economy and this political thing, they can be very controversial. So if you're starting off with that, And maybe the way you are saying, the person you are talking to feels that you are talking about his or her party. The whole thing will spoil. Do you understand? But even these surface level subjects, let the Holy Spirit prompt you. Because you can walk into a shop and you can talk about business for that day. And ask, how is business going? I have some friends, they are telling me that it's not easy. How are you coping? Then they'll say, Minya, it's not easy. Then you now start to, hey, we really need God to help us. So we need God to help us. Then said, that's why I want to tell you something about this God who wants to help you to make things work better for you. Then you can transition now into sharing the gospel with the person. Hallelujah. Number five, we must deliver a simple and warm salvation message based on your personal experience of Christ. If you're born again, truly born again, and if you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, you have a personal experience of Christ. It may not be spectacular, but it's still an experience. You may not have done certain bad things in life before, but even the fact that God kept you from certain bad things is a testimony to the goodness of God. And you can use that to tell somebody about Jesus. You don't need to have very wild, bizarre stories to be an effective witness for Jesus. So learn to share with people your personal experience of Christ. Hallelujah. Number six, you can use gospel tracts to help you in your evangelism. And I explained to you that these gospel tracts are small pamphlets that are designed to explain the gospel of Jesus clearly and simply. We have a few of them around, and anytime we organize outreaches, we use them and they help. Number seven, use a language you are conversant with. Use a language you are conversant with. Number eight, talk about Jesus. Don't just talk about your church or your pastor. Talk about who? Jesus. I am sick and tired of Christians who have specialized in talking about their churches and talking about their pastors and have turned their pastors into demigods. And that error must stop. And I hope that you've not turned me into that. I reject it with all my heart. Because I know that if I don't talk about these things and you persist in doing them, you are digging a hole for me. Too many Christians, especially charismatic Christians. When we go out talking to people and we are supposed to be talking to them about Jesus, we end up talking to them about our churches and talking to them about our pastors and talking to them about our church buildings and talking to them about our beautiful lights and all of that. What are lights? What's a church building? And for your information, many of the spectacular and amazing church buildings and cathedrals in Europe today are not being used for churches. They are abandoned. The ones that are running, you find a very few old men and women go to church. Talk about amazing architectural designs. That is why the church buildings are important. But we must understand that history has taught us a lot of things about buildings, that after some years, they are no longer relevant. A church must have a church building by the grace of God. And that's why we are building. But I'm explaining something to you, that you can get to a point where you, as the leader of the church, you are obsessed with putting up something that nobody else has put up before, or building church buildings all over the place so that everybody can talk about you, that you have so many. Oh, please. So I'm saying to you, let's talk about Jesus. And let's shift from any other thing that has become our focus. May the Lord help us. Number nine, we must have a hope and expectation that whoever you speak to will respond positively and give his or her life to Christ. We must have a hope and expectation that when we talk to them about Jesus, they will respond positively and give their lives to Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 10, don't lose your focus and be drawn into religious or doctrinal arguments. You got to be very careful. When you're trying to talk to somebody about Jesus, stay off controversial topics before you realize somebody has pulled a knife on you because you said something that you shouldn't say. There are some people you can't talk down on their religious leaders. So don't go on that tangent. You can lose your life. Hallelujah. So I think that was it. Verse number 11, please. We're going to run through very quickly and end. Number 11, the 11th practical step to effective evangelism. Have an aim to witness to 2 to 5 people every week. Have an aim to witness to 2 to 5 people every week. Have that aim. Remember, I'm sharing with you practical steps. And this is something practical that you can do. Because you see, where there is no aim, where there is no vision, certain things won't be done. But if you make it a part of yourself and you make it part of your life, that every week I want to talk to at least 2 people. At least 2. So maybe I should just have said at least 2 people. You can do more. But I think that between 2 to 5 people is a good target to have. So make that your aim. And the Holy Spirit will help you to achieve that. And the reason why you need to talk to quite a number of people before you see certain results is that a lot of people, when you talk to them, they may not respond the first time. You may expect them to respond, but they may not. And so if you really want to be fruitful in reaching out to the lost, then you must aim to speak to a lot more people. So that at least 1 person will respond to encourage you. Hallelujah. In the parable of the sower, there only a quarter, if you like, of what he planted yielded fruits. Only a quarter. Because some of the seeds fell by the wayside. Some fell among thorns. Some fell among stony ground. And the ones that did well were the ones that fell on good grounds. So it's as if only about 25%, you know, results or fruits may come out of the efforts that you put in. So this is not something that is cast in stone. But at least you can have it at the back of your mind that it's not everybody that you talk to that will respond. So if you want to see people being saved, you must talk to a lot more people so that you would also not be discouraged at the end of the day that I keep talking to people and they are not responding. You need to talk to more. And by the grace of God, you will bear some fruits as we move along. Hallelujah. Number 12. The 12th practical step to effective evangelism is you must remain courteous and be polite. Whenever you're talking to anybody about Jesus, remain courteous and be polite. Courteous is spelled C-O-U-R-T-E-O-U-S. Courteous means you must show good manners. So you must remain courteous and be polite. We mustn't be pushy and demanding when we talk to people about Jesus. We must remain courteous. That means we must show good manners and be polite. We shouldn't be pushy and demanding when we're talking to people about Jesus. And your body language should not be offensive. You can't be talking to people about Jesus and you're throwing your hands all over the place. And you're pointing at them. You're threatening them. You know, sometimes people, in an effort to win some souls, virtually threaten people into the kingdom of God. So they start telling them things. If you don't take care and you die, do you know that you can die? You can die tonight. And if you die tonight and you don't know Jesus, you will go to hell. You go to hell. You can't be reaching out to people and you just go blankly. Is your name in the book of life? If your name is not in the book of life, you go to hell. You die. You die. You can't do that. You're being too pushy. You're being too demanding. You have to learn how to deliver the good news politely. And I'll always advise that focus more on the love, the mercies, and the grace of God. Focus more on that. Because that message is a warm message. And it has a way of yielding results. It doesn't mean that we don't talk about the other things, the other side of it. We can talk about it, and there's a place for that. But generally speaking, focus on a warm delivery of the good news of Jesus Christ. And I'm saying, be courteous. Don't be insulting. Don't say to somebody that if you don't give your heart to Jesus, you're a fool. That's repulsive. And you may get a certain result that you don't need. And I want to say to you that, you know, generally, learn to communicate courteously with people. I mean, I don't know whether the people coming up are taught these things, but when we're growing up, there was something called courtesy for boys and girls. There's a way to conduct yourself. There's a way to carry yourself. There is. You can't just be insulting all over the place. You can't just be calling people fools, calling people idiots, telling people we Jimmy, telling people we Nyansa, telling people we Kwasiafo. You can't do that. You cannot do that. So when you're talking to people about Jesus, let's learn to be courteous. And let's speak politely to them. What does the Bible say about that? Look with me at 1 Peter. 3:15-16. We'll be done in a few minutes. 1 Peter 3:15-16. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Do this how? In a gentle and respectful way. If you want to talk to anybody about Jesus, do it in a gentle and respectful way. That is what we are talking about here. Number 13. You must dress appropriately and you must smell good. I said it's practical. Practical step. So don't be surprised that I'm talking about things like that. Dress appropriately and try and smell good. Now, you may just look at it from the perspective of maybe we are organizing an outreach in the area and we are asking you to come. Then when you come, we will move to different places. And so when you're coming, you may think that that is the only thing we are talking about here. But what I'm saying is that generally speaking, because remember that you don't know the day or the time when God will present you with an opportunity to talk to somebody about Jesus. It may be any day. It may be any time. And it's not only when we organize outreach, massive organized outreach, that we have opportunity to talk to people about Jesus. As you step out of your house to go and buy kenke from Akwele Mami at the junction, you may never know who God will prompt your heart to talk to about Jesus. So as a general rule, what I'm saying is that learn to dress appropriately and try and smell good. Yeah. And your mouth. Brush your teeth. It's important. Because you can't just walk to somebody and say, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then the person is being slain. And it's not under the anointing. It's not the anointing. It is something else. So when you're going to say, hallelujah, the person is fainting. And they are looking elsewhere. So as you are talking to someone, the person can't look into your face. Please. There are things that you can do. And you keep insisting. Say, brush me, nime. It's one of the points there. You must maintain eye contact. Do you see? Look, it sounds like a joke. But some of these things can put people off. And can be the reason why certain people may not respond. Because of the way you've dressed. And by the way, talking about dressing, you have the liberty to dress however you want to dress. You have that freedom. Nobody can take it away from you. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 10, 23. Maybe take it from the New King James Version of the Bible. All things are lawful for me. That means I have the liberty to do all things. But not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Verse 24. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Now, I want to say again that you are at liberty to dress however you want to dress. But then, always remember the verse 24. That don't just think about yourself and the liberties you have and feel that you can do anything, anyway, anyhow. You must always be conscious that how you carry yourself, how you conduct yourself, and even how you look can repel people from Christ. And I know that mommy is planning to have a talk, especially with the young ones in church, as part of something that the women's ministry wants to take up seriously about how people dress and everything. And don't be offended. Don't be bored when we start talking about certain things. Because all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. And when it comes to being an effective witness for Christ Jesus, even the way you dress and the way you look is important. Young man, dress well. Look sharp. This your inkotwa beard, it makes you look like somebody who is next in line for suicide bombing. If you want to keep a beard, trim it nicely. Ebiwaha, 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 bo. Then young man, pull up your trousers. Who says we want to see your boxer shorts? And the color is not even nice. Red, gold, green, black stars. Why? Then when I go and you even tell them, they have the audacity to tell you that I am aware. So dress appropriately. And sisters, dress well. So that when you are talking to the person about Jesus, you are not creating a problem. Because the guy is struggling to concentrate. He's doing what? Struggling to concentrate. Because he now has a problem already. And you've come to add your own. So because of that, he has to look elsewhere. And you know that when you're talking to someone, a person is not looking into. Look, if I'm talking to you and you're not looking into my face, you may not even assimilate well what I'm saying to you. Yeah. It's very important. When somebody's talking to you, look into the person's face. But Charlie, the guy, you know the fit look. Do you see? Yeah. Because the way you paint your face, you know, it reminds him of certain things. So let's dress appropriately and let's smell good. And it doesn't cost much, smelling good. What do you need? At the end? Lemon? Eh? Alloy. Which one is that? Alum. Is it like a calcium product or something? Okay. But basically, lime. Lime, that's all. Anytime, any day. Hey, look. Our parents, they were not using deodorant. So. They were not. And there are some of the things that deodorant doesn't work. Do you see? Yeah. I've actually seen somebody using mosquito spray. Because wabre, waya sent no ko. Into Ophili said, insensibi woho. I said, me yadeng, I said, me kumon. Hell, so mosquito spray. As he sprayed the thing, said, no, attend the face. Charlie, how for do? Charlie, it's not easy in life. Oh. Hey, but lying, it works. Yes. So it's part of the preparations, practical steps to effective evangelism. Amen. And I'm not joking, oh. I'm very serious about what I'm saying. It will help you to be effective. Let's finish. Number 14. If you set out purposely to do evangelism as much as possible, don't take with you anything that can easily be stolen. If you set out, maybe we've organized outreach or something. As you are coming, don't bring your iPad. Don't bring 20,000 Ghana cedis. What are you bringing all that with you for? So when you set out purposely to do evangelism as much as possible, don't take with you anything that can easily be stolen. Amen. I said amen. Don't take with you anything that can easily be stolen. Because if you have one bad experience, your evangelism ministry can end forever. Yeah. Because sometimes a single bad experience can so much affect you that you wouldn't want to do certain things again. So as much as possible, don't take with you anything that can easily be stolen. Number 15. When you are doing evangelism, avoid phone calls and messages. Avoid them. Avoid phone calls and WhatsApping. So you cannot be talking to somebody, I want to talk to you about Jesus. Jesus really loves you. Then, bring, bring. Ben, tell them, excuse me, I'm coming right now. Just give me a few minutes. Then, oh, Adwa. Eshe, it's under the bed. Yeah, get it. Look, I'm busy now. Don't worry me. Then said, I'm sorry. Where were we? I was telling that Jesus loves you. That's why he came to die. Bling, bling. I said, I'm coming right now. He said, Isifu, you two, what is the problem? The carburetor. Solve it. Solve the carburetor problem. Hey, you guys are worrying me. Then he hung up the phone. Yes. Where were we again? Yes. So Jesus said, if they do all, he really loves you. Then, bling, WhatsApp message has come. Said that, Charlie, it's an important message that I'm waiting for. Let me pick it right now. When you do that, you will not be effective. So, especially if you set out that I'm doing outreach, evangelism, and everything, try and put your phone aside. And some of us, we are too addicted to our phones, eh? Who says that you must answer every call? Who says you must respond to every WhatsApp message at the very moment? I know that there are important calls that may come in. I know that there are important messages that may come in. But the truth of the matter is that a lot of the calls and the messages can actually wait. And I've actually learned to put my phone on silent sometimes. I do it deliberately. Because I don't want to get addicted to it. It can't be that when you wake up first thing in the morning, phone. It's a problem. It is a problem. So when it comes to evangelism and talking to people about Jesus, put the phone aside. You can't even put it on silent. Nothing will spoil. Amen. 16, make the discussion interactive by asking questions. Don't just talk and talk. Make the discussion interactive by asking questions. Don't just talk and talk. The best way to witness to somebody about Jesus is to make it interactive. You say some, then you ask a question, then you get the person to comment, and then the discussion becomes more meaningful. Any conversation that is one-sided is not effective communication. So when you're reaching out to people, learn, make it interactive by asking questions, and don't just talk and 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 talk. I'm even tired. Do you see? And people will get tired of hearing you talk. So you got to make it interactive by asking questions. Amen. We are almost there. 17. Maintain eye contact with whoever you're witnessing to. We talked about that a few minutes ago. Maintain eye contact with whoever you're witnessing to. 18. Have a Bible readily at hand. Have a Bible readily at hand. Thank God that there are Bible softwares that you can have on your phone. All right? And you can have a small New Testament, a small Bible that you carry along with you everywhere that you go. I'm not asking you to go and buy a very big Thompson Chain reference Bible, and everywhere you are going, you are carrying it. If you can, that's fine. But there are smaller Bibles, and you can use these Bible softwares and apps on your phone. It will work. So have a Bible readily at hand, because there may be a need to refer to the Bible as you move along. 19. When you are done, always ask your target person if you can lead him or her to pray and invite Jesus into his or her heart. But if they decline, don't push it. When you are done, that is when you are done talking to the person about Jesus, always ask your target person if you can lead him or her to pray and invite Jesus into his or her heart. If they decline, don't push it. Let it be. Because it's not your work to save anybody. It's the Holy Spirit who saves them. Your assignment is to talk to them about Jesus. Amen. 20. Aim not to take more than 30 minutes talking to someone about Jesus. Take only about 30 minutes. You know, don't make it too long. Because they may not have the time to listen to you talk for 45 minutes, 1 hour, 1.5. Because people have things that they have to do. So aim to take not more than 30 minutes in talking to someone about Jesus. 21. Remember to appreciate whoever you talk to for his or her time and attention. Remember to appreciate the person for his time, for her time and attention. It's a practical step. 22. Make sure you take down the person's contact details and share yours with him or her. Take down the person's contact details and share yours with him or her. That's 22. 23. Be ready to follow up the person until he or she is established. Be ready to follow up the person until he or she is established. The last but one, 24. You must be patient and persistent. Don't give up too quickly. You must be patient and persistent. Don't give up too quickly. That's something you must know. Some people, you may have to talk and work on them over and over and over again until they respond. You must be patient. You must be persistent. And you mustn't give up too quickly on people. And the last one, recognize when somebody is wasting your time and back off. Recognize when somebody is wasting your time and back off. So the earlier point is that you must be patient and you must be persistent and don't give up too quickly. But you must also recognize when somebody is just wasting your time. And you can see when somebody is wasting your time. Because the person doesn't do what you're asking him to do. You're on the person always calling, always visiting, and all of that. And sometimes as you are trying to talk to the person, maybe you are a lady talking to a guy. You can see that the guy is just interested in you. That's why he's listening to you. He's not interested in what you're saying. You need to get to the place where you can recognize that somebody is wasting my time. And when you see that, you just back off. Hallelujah. So, by all means, these are not the only practical steps, but at least I have 25 that I have given to you. And may I remind you again that I've shared these things with you because we have a responsibility to win the lost. God is expecting us to do that. And as a church, Shepherd's Fold Restoration Family, may we never forget that this is perhaps the main reason for our existence. That's what the church is about. That's why Jesus came to die for us. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Is that the memory verse for today? Yeah. Luke 19:10. That's why he came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, or those who were lost. And he's expecting us to help him to achieve his goal and objective. So take these 25 practical steps and run with them and work with them. But I'm expecting of each and every one of us that we will become ardent soul winners for Christ Jesus, and that we will help to advance the kingdom of God and to change the destinies of people. And as we go through the year, before this year will end, I want us to practically win souls and establish them in church and establish them in the house of God. And I believe that God is going to be happy with us and will be very pleased with us and will smile on us. Remember what he said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." Then he says, "So that whatever you will ask the Father in my name, he may give it you." There are certain things that you need in your life, perhaps, that you haven't yet seen. And the reason may be that you are not doing what the Master wants. So what you are asking, you may not be getting it. I dare you today. I challenge you to take up the soul winning business seriously. And watch and prove God therewith. If he will not smile on you and favor you and cause you to see certain things that you've been waiting long for. I pray that God will deal graciously with all of us as we set out to work with him to save the dying souls out there. Put your hands together for Jesus. Rise to your feet and let us close today's service. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your voices right now and thank the Lord. And then I want you to make a pledge to the Lord. I want you to devote yourself and dedicate yourself afresh to him. Tell him that, "Father, I want to be what you saved me to be. A soul winner, a savior of men and women. Today, oh God, touch my heart. Take that selfish streak out of me. Give me a heart that resonates with yours. A heart filled with compassion and a burden for the lost souls out there." I want you to pray and say, "Father, make me an effective witness for you. I want to please you. I want to do what you want. So touch my heart and work on me and change my life and let me become an effective soul winner to the glory of your name." Can you lift up your hands as a sign of surrender unto the Lord and talk to him right now? Lift up your voices and talk to the Lord. Everybody, speak to the Lord.
Settle in my course.
Don't look around. Don't look at anybody. Just pray for yourself. Say, Father, I know that you have great expectations concerning me. And today, my response is, here I am. Use me for your glory and for your honor. In times past, my response has been, use somebody else. I am too busy. I have too many problems. I have too many issues. But today, the response is different. And I say to you, here I am, O God, and use me. For if you can use anything, you can use me, Lord. Pray for yourself. Now lay your hand on your heart and pray and say, Father, anoint me. Anoint me to be an effective witness for you. Today's service is an anointing service. But we are praying and asking God to anoint us. Asking the Holy Spirit to anoint us himself. I may not call you forward to anoint you with oil. But right where you are standing, a certain anointing can come upon you. Expect it. Receive it. Ask for it. And you will see a change in you. That there will be a burden for the lost souls out there. Do it, Lord. Take away that heart of stone. Give us a heart of flesh. Let the anointing come upon us. The anointing to please you. The anointing to be effective witnesses. To become soul winners. To evangelize the people we come into contact with. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Pour it out. Pour an anointing upon your people. We thank you, Father. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. We bless you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You're here today, but you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. But how can you leave this service without taking the most important decision of your life? Because that decision will determine so many things for you. Even where you will spend eternity. Today I want to pray with you. Maybe somebody invited you to church, but deep inside you, you know that you're not saved, that you're not born again, that Jesus is not the Lord of your life. Or maybe you're watching us, but the truth is that you're living life according to your own terms, and you've not received Jesus as Lord and Savior. But I want to pray with you. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord, wherever you are, lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. I see your heart. God bless you. I see your heart. If you're watching us, you can lift your hand right where you are. I can't see you, but the Lord can see you because his eyes are everywhere. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Thank you, Father. Now, I want all of us to pray this prayer, and especially those whose hands are lifted. Pray this prayer earnestly and with intensity. And please say after me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, today I come to you just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I am yours and you are mine. I will serve you. I will follow you for the rest of my life. Please write my name in the book of life. fill me with the Holy Spirit and help me to stay on this course, never to go back again. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And let everyone say, Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.